morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you here today. We appreciate your presence and hope that you'll be able to be with us again tonight as we continue our study on the life of Jesus and falling in love with that life even more. Those of you who may be out of town this afternoon, heading out, be careful, enjoy the holiday. Some are already out of town, and I know that, and we wish them well as they enjoy the 4th and return safely to us. John 8:36, if the Son of Man, the Son of God, frees you, He will free you indeed. He will free you indeed. I got to thinking about what we would talk about today, and that tomorrow is the 4th of July. You know, this is an election year, and as I recall, our election years are a little crazy. A lot of things that happen and things are said, and it seems like my phone rings a lot more. I don't know about yours. I get calls about what I think, which makes me wonder why I didn't get calls 3 years ago about what I think, or even last year. But apparently now people are concerned about what we think. They want to know, and so someone on the other end will be asking about different ideas, policies, thoughts, etc. And I will admit to you, I'm probably not a good citizen in that way. I typically don't spend a lot of time on the phone with those things. But it got me thinking about the ideas that others would share. People want to know what you think America really needs. What do you think America needs? And I will tell you that some just have a short list, and some will have a list as long as your arm. And some of those things on that list are the same on both. No one wants hungry children, or anyone to be in poverty, or anyone to be in danger. To be safe and being able to travel various places. A lot of times it's just a matter of how these things are implemented and what procedures need to be in place, what approach needs to be taken. What does America really need? I'm not suggesting there's not things that we don't need. I believe there are, and I think there are areas and things that we could do and be better. And I believe that's the spirit of this country, to try to be better for all citizens. I start asking the question to myself, what does America really need? July 4th, 1776, 56 men signed the Declaration of Independence. These brave men served our country. Some of them lost their lives for those visions of America. Some lost their homes. Some of those men of that 56, several of them served in our country in Congress and did so for free. And some of them died penniless. To understand the importance of that signing of that Declaration of Independence, not dependence. It was Benjamin Franklin on that occasion who said, in only the humorous way that he can, with the gallows, thinking about the gallows and perhaps their future, he said, "Gentlemen, we're going to hang together, or we're going to hang separate." July 4th is, of course, a time of celebration in this country. We decide to set that day aside from all other dates because of the decisions, the things that we declared as a people to Britain and the rest of the world. It's what we declare. You're going to have to learn to live with it. And oftentimes when we think of July 4th and the time of celebration, we think of cookouts and shorts and flip-flops and tank tops and pontoon boats and hamburgers and hot dogs and ice cream and fireworks. All those things are fine and good. But tomorrow is so much more than that. July 4th is a time for Americans to remember just how long and how much God has carried us. We should remember those wise men in our history who finally got it written. Draft after draft after draft. And then said, we're going to sign this no matter what. That they set forth in history a road for us to become the greatest country this world has ever known. And we should never take that for granted. And always remember those who stood in front of you at the right time to keep you free. Part of that declaration says, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What does this country really need? There's two things that pop out to me as I read that beginning of that declaration of our independence. The one is that our forefathers believed in God. They believed in God. They signed this declaration that included His name. It wasn't some watered down view of God. It was not some conceptual postmodern ideology around the spirit concept of God. It wasn't a watered down or non-offensive view of God. It's just God. They believed in God. And they believed that through His divine providence could come forth a place in history that a nation would be blessed as a result. And God has truly blessed this nation ever since. I think about that part of the declaration and I say to myself, freedom is priceless. It is priceless. The price of freedom has a value too high for even the wealthiest among us. It has always been true that it is freedom that changes everything. It changes lives, and our men and women in armed forces see it more closely. When they leave the borders of this country, they understand it perhaps better than we do. And have seen people who cry for it with their own ears. It was Jesus that knew the importance of freedom. It was Jesus who knew that all men need to be free. that all men desired that. And he talked about it. Oh, not a government. Not a freedom from government or within government. Not a freedom that involved a house and a senate. And a president. A commander-in-chief. A freedom much more important than all that. If that's what he wanted to do, he could have implemented that kind of freedom at that time in the city of Jerusalem under the rule of Rome. Some of his followers even kind of hoped that was the case. But it wasn't. It was a different kind of freedom. It's something more than what you put in a ballot box or what you tell someone who calls you at 6 o'clock right before dinner and says, "Hey, I want to talk to you about a survey." It goes beyond what law is being passed and who's going to be in the court. It's a greater freedom than all that. Jesus in John chapter 8 and verse 36 said, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you will be free indeed." You will finally know real freedom. The freest free there is. What was he talking about? He's talking about something that we couldn't have on our own. Something that we couldn't change by 56 men writing something and signing their names. That could not be obtained by weapons and waiting to see the whites of their eyes. Something greater than what could be voted on and decided upon for a 4 or 8 year period. Something much greater. What does America really need? I'm not suggesting there are things we don't need. But what we need is a better life. Spiritual liberty and real happiness. First, a better life. What does the world think life is all about? If we look at the lives of people and their actions, then it's pretty easy to determine what people think a better life is all about. A better life then would be all about immediate gratification. I want what I want, when I want it, and how I want it. An emotional gratification, a physical gratification. At all levels. Even don't get my order wrong if I drive through. It's that immediate gratification. It's a matter of everyone being at the starting line and then someone says, "When you're able to get a job, okay, on your mark, set, go." And we find out if we can get all we can while we can and as long as we can and hope that there's enough that we can do something when it's all over with. And then if it feels good to us and it's not physically hurting someone else, then what's the problem with it? We should go ahead and do it. And quite honestly, the idea is, you know, you deserve that. A self-centeredness that staggers the wisest in this world. Where an individual will say, "Me first and me always first." Or a self-created morality that I should have evolved to a point where I know what's good and at least good for me. And I will decide what is good for me, and as long as it does not physically attack you, then it is my morality. I'm good, therefore I'm moral. And you can't say anything about it. What does the world think life is all about? Could it be these things based upon our world? I submit to you that Jesus came to bring something a whole lot better than all that. He came to bring a better way to live. John chapter 10 and verse 10 says, I have come that you might have life. I thought we did have life. I thought we were living. We're going about doing our thing. Spending time with our friends and loved ones. Raising our children. Working hard. Trying to make ends meet. Trying to save some for a rainy day. We're doing all this. We're being nice to our neighbors and friends. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. We just thought we were living. I've come that you might have life and that you might have life more abundantly. There are two areas of life that are covered in that verse. The first is the life which is better and healthier and happier and a peaceful way to live. That is real living, where there is no guilt and no heartache and no anger and violence and greed and selfishness and vengeance. It's a better outlook on life. It's a better view of self and a better view of other people. And you sleep a lot better at night when you have that kind of life, and that's what He came to bring to us. Somebody says, we need life, liberty. Yeah, we need life. We need a better life than what we've got. And then He said something else. The knowledge that even a better place is ahead of us when He says, not only will I give you life, I will give you life more abundantly. That's the promise of something better that's coming. Don't settle in on this place too long, okay? We're fortunate in this country to have the lives we do. If you don't think that, go somewhere else to live and you will see. But if we settle for this life and not the life that Jesus said that He offers, we shortchange ourselves and tell God we know better than you do. We need life and we need the life that He provides. And how do we get it? In John chapter 6, verse 68, Jesus had been feeding people and a big multitude were following Him, and He thought, perfect opportunity to teach and preach. And He did so because He thought that they were coming to Him at that time because they were being fed by Him. That's the reason why they were following. Matter of fact, that's what He said to them. I think you're following me because I feed you. And He started teaching them, and He taught them a message about being able to feed off of Him, His flesh, His blood, not cannibalism, but feeding through Him, that everything when it comes to the real life goes through Him. Some had difficulty with that concept. They saw getting to God a totally different way, and others left, and probably some misunderstood, and off they went. And as they all went away, Jesus looked at His disciples and He said, where are you going to go? Are you going to leave me too? And Peter made one of the most profound statements that I wish and hope and pray that every child of God would say in their lives when things get difficult. And that is this. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. He was right. It is in and through the new will and testament of Jesus Christ that we have life. He died for it and provided it, and through Him we can have it. What does America need? Every person, registered voter or not, needs real life. Number two, our founders were right. Life and liberty and pursuit of happiness. I submit to you not only a better life, but spiritual liberty. What is liberty? Liberty is like being free. It's like being free. Liberty's more than a statue and a burning torch at a harbor that represents liberty. It's more than being able to choose your own spouse or choose your own HMO or PPO or ABC or whatever the other acronyms are. It's more important than being able to choose where you want to go to lunch today. Liberty is the essence of our being in this country. It allows the weak to grow strong, the poor to be rich, the sick to be healed, and hope for those who are downtrodden and discouraged. Yes, we need liberty. But I will submit to you that we need a greater liberty than that. We need a spiritual liberty. If sin holds a person in captivity, he does not have liberty. In spite of the fact that he may have all the other liberties that we just mentioned. He has no liberty. You show me a person who lives a sinful life, and I will show you a person who is not free. The worst chains are the invisible ones. The worst chains that keep us from being free are those that we wear and don't even know it. Or deny that we have them on. It was Christ's mission to bring forth that freedom, that liberty. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," he said, "because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive," that's freedom, "and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty," there's the freedom, "to them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of our Lord." Not governmental overthrow. No. Not at all. Spiritual liberty. How does one receive it? It was the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 6 who reminded the people of how they got it. Some people can be free and forget that they're free. Some people don't know that they are free. Some people will try to go back into a slavery after coming out and being free. And it was the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7 said, "Know ye not, as many of you as were baptized into Christ, were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." This is free life. "For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection." Knowing this, not that you don't know. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. There's your bondage. "That the body of sin might be destroyed." There's the breaking of the chains. "That henceforth we should no longer serve sin." There's your freedom. "For if," he said, "he that is dead will then be freed from sin." We bury that old life in baptism. We rise up as free people. Free from the sins that we've committed. Free from the guilt that has plagued us. Free to inherit eternal life and call God our God and Jesus our older brother. Free from man's religious rules. Free from the law that could possibly once again entangle us that we could not possibly keep. Free from any man's rule over any church of any kind. We receive true lasting liberty. One woman who was raised in the universal church practices all of her life. That's all she ever knew. She came in the building. She was on her knees. Certain times she was on her knees. She did various things and she was on her knees before she left. That was all she had ever known. It's all her father had ever taught her. It's all her mother had ever taught her. That's the only thing she had ever experienced. A sister in Christ said, "I'd like to study the Bible with you." And she said, "Sure, why not?" They started studying And they came to, she came to a realization in this studying that these are verses that I've never heard of before. I mean, the book actually says, call no man father. Are you kidding me? I never heard that before. I've never been taught that before. And she began to then question other things that she had been taught all of her life. And then she realized that she was being enlightened by the Word of God. She got to a place where then she had trouble going and worshiping that way anymore. She knew she had to make a decision. Not only for her, but for her child. And one night she decided she wanted to be baptized. The preacher of that congregation was not there that night, but a skinny youth minister was there. And she said to her girlfriend, I don't know, it doesn't matter to me, can he do it? And he said, wait, what? She wants to be baptized. She wants to know if you can do it. And I said, I'd be happy to. That woman came out of the water. I was the first to hug her. Later married her. I'll never forget what she said to me. She really didn't know me. But this is what she said. I've never known freedom.
That's right.
Until now. I'll tell you what this country needs. That kind of spiritual liberty. Not that we don't need other things, but what we really need is spiritual liberty. And then finally, real happiness. There are enough people in this country that are tired of pretending to be happy around everybody else. And when bad things happen, not knowing what's going to happen down the road and living a life of constant fear and anxiety. Worldliness, happiness comes and goes. One day you're happy, the next day you're not. That's the way worldly happiness is. If you don't believe me, just look at people post on Facebook. That kind of happiness is based on situations, always is, and at best, worldly happiness is temporary. And the saddest reality that we will ever know is that man looks everywhere in this world to find happiness, only to find at the end of his life that real happiness is not even found in this world. And he has spent his entire pursuit trying to obtain it here, only to find it can never be found. And then only hoping that his children will listen to what he has learned and not follow the same path. Christ provides joy and spiritual happiness that cannot be matched. It was Philippians 4 and verse 4 that was written by a man who had it. And in a jail cell he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. That is the kind of inner joy and inner happiness that you will not find in this world. It is not based upon situation. It remains even when you're suffering in this life. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11, Paul said to a church in that matter, strengthening with all might according to His glorious power and all patience and long-suffering with the joyfulness that you have. The joyfulness that you have. It is a joyfulness that we can have going through trials in this life. If there's anything that we know, it's trial. James chapter 1 and verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials for your faith. Count them on joy. Who does that? Who can do that, Christians?
Amen.
Why? Because the happiness we have is different from the happiness of the world. That's a joy that can't be removed by position. That is a joy that can't be removed by situation. That's a happiness that stays with a person every day of his life. Doesn't matter what happens. Nothing else can bring that kind of real happiness in this world. What does America need? I'll tell you what America needs. America needs real happiness. Our country is great. And our founders were right. It stands upon life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. But my friends, I will tell you, as God has blessed us with these, He has done so much more for us. He has provided us with so much that half the time we feel guilty, and rightfully so. But God now provides spiritual life, spiritual liberty, free from sin, and true inner joy and happiness. And I know we're thankful to be citizens in this country. But we are not all citizens of God's country. What does America need to be citizens of God's country? Tomorrow we celebrate the 4th of July. My question is today, can we today celebrate your spiritual life, your liberty, and your happiness in Jesus? We can, if you will, in faith, believe in Him. Repent of your sins. Confess that faith and stand by it. And be baptized to have your sins washed away. You will be a part of a family that could very well say, we either hang together or we will hang separate. It is life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness that God provides. And if you're not a child of God today, we have a perfect example of the independence of this country based upon that principle. And God is saying, would you like something even better? It's available to all of us. Will you accept it today? If you will, please let us know. Let's stand together and sing.